Welcome to the story of Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop. This is Chapter 7, The Lost March. Cleaning up after the shop came in sideways is intricate, strange work. I'm the author, Ray Dubicki. Let's remember for a moment that Millie is an artist, first and foremost. You can join Millie Salmon on Patreon or find more at milliesalmon.com, and you can follow this podcast and other stories on social media at Infinite Shop Limited. Chapter 7, The Lost March. Millie wrapped herself in the confines of her own room, apparently unpunished. The restrictions were lifted, not specifically and not verbally, but the noose felt like it wasn't there anymore. At least not the grounding forever one. Her parents had kissed her goodnight and sent her to go to bed, just like things had been, before the shop, before the crashing at the market, before all those people went missing. Her room hugged around her. Millie hugged her drawing book. Its anchor heft and cool leather binding. All the time she closed the floor cleaner smell of homeroom into it, to open later and cut through the dry erase smell of English. Jagged edges, absent torn notes to Pat's, or wrapping to throw away Reggie's gum. She turned to the next new page and started drawing the day. Mom, Dad, Grandpa spread over the desk in the shop, Grandpa on his stool leafing through a giant tome of pages as easily as he did with the newspaper. Mom, with arms folded and constantly shaking her head, no. Dad flipping through pictures and zipping across charts on the now illuminated table? Millie had never seen this in the shop. That part of the counter had always been glass for signing receipts, with slips of paper, business cards, and the table for calculating sales tax. The slips of paper had disappeared, and a computer interface appeared. Or, Millie realized, the slips of paper had just been pictures on a very clear screen that was now returning to its actual display use. Now, it seemed like the most natural thing in the world. Millie leaned next to Grandpa, elbows down and watching. They were figuring out what to do with the hundreds of people from off-world that had flooded into the market while the shop malfunctioned. They, the mom and the dad, bickered and debated in the way that was always how they made decisions, and argued and fought. Dad would spew out endless random ideas. Each result was a perfectly legitimate answer to the problem, just goofy and strange and malformed. Mom would taper the conversation down to the realm of the reasonable. He wouldn't get something as insane as he wanted, but she would be somewhere outside of the straightforward place she started. It was weird in its familiarity. Millie knew this conversation because she had heard it so often. It was their way of deciding where to go to dinner or to a movie. Now it just had a lot more galactic importance and ridiculous sci-fi words. Their wavering discussion started focusing on the Endless Highway, which was apparently a real place. It didn't take a lot of energy to establish a similar concept to remove off-world folks from the market. They would just have to wait until people were ready to leave on their own accord. "We're building a highway?" Millie asked her father. "Just stealing the concept. It's essentially a shared galactic off-ramp." In her room, Millie flipped the page of her book and started drawing the market. From behind, Millie, Mom, and Dad were silhouettes. Millie sat on a bench in the plaza overlooking the market, Mom to one side and Dad standing behind, leaning on the seat back. The top was framed by the highway and the sides by rows of trucks. In the background, the crowd thinned as they watched. Stalls were closing, having finished a surprisingly successful late fall sales day. Folks were heading different directions back to their homes. People from Earth drifted out from the market and off to their street or buses. When each couple or family from another world started leaving the market, they just faded away. Millie looked at her drawing. She drew one of the large insectoids walking in front of their bench. She wasn't happy with it and started erasing the bug person. Until she lifted up the gray and worn eraser only partly through the image on the paper, the half-erased segmented insect body was lighter here, striped clear there, blurry in some spots, and surrounded with crumbs and haze. That was exactly what it had looked like. She left it on the page right like that. When they started, she had no idea whether to believe in this endless highway or what. But once the field was set, the results spoke for themselves. The entire first standard cult of Maxis the Obnoxious immediately decided to leave and, chanting loudly, announced their departure. They built up a bit of speed and headed out of the market. Just as quickly as they walked out of the reused parking lot, they faded out of sight. Millie blinked at the absence where a horde of colorful robes and hair swirled seconds before. Are we sure they're home? Mom looked at her phone. Yes, Daylin is at the office downtown tracking them. All safe. Daylin. Millie thought about Daylin. She had been Mom's assistant at the bank for a while. Now there was a question to ask. Daylin's not at this downtown branch of the bank, is she? No. Mom resigned. She is on Dalibor tour. When do I meet her? It didn't take long. Daylin burst in the door the moment everyone was back in the shop. Millie flipped to the next clean page, turning it long ways. She started drawing Daylin, framed in the door of the shop. It was a hero pose, one from the comics. But she didn't need to exaggerate. Broad belt and flowing pants going into a pair of beautifully chunky and meerschaum leather boots. A tight-fitted shirt with a tablet under one arm, a long electronic gauntlet on the other forearm, and straight layered hair that could not decide if it was auburn or violet or nighttime blue. She was the force of all authority Millie could imagine, and behind her was Dalibor Tor. "Director, we didn't get them all," Daylin announced. Mom replied, "There were no stragglers left at the market." Daylin shook her head. "I can't say that everyone showed up at the market." Go down the list. A new problem for Mom to untangle. There was the cult. There was the reptilians. And there were insectoids. "That was only three waves," Grandpa said. "Where's the fourth?" Mom looked concerned. Dad looked confused. "What fourth are you talking about?" "The sideways, the banging." Grandpa clapped his hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. Each time there was a bang, there was a wave of people that flooded out the door. "We only saw three from outside," Mom looked at Millie. Millie confirmed. "One of them may not have connected here." Dad turned to his father. "Do you remember what they look like?" "I said before, when they appeared in here, they were intangible and indistinguishable. But there were plainly four waves that went out that door." "And that is everything that I can see also." Daylin put her tablet on the table and pulled a display into the air above it. "But I can say they would have looked humanoid. They're from Proval." Dad looked. "Any coordinates or anything that suggests where they might have ended up?" "Please look, Professor. It doesn't make sense to me." Dad spun the display. "Just a stream of 011110. It repeats about a dozen times." Sitting over her desk, over her drawing, Millie remembered that she had smiled. "That's good. My birthday." She shouldn't have smiled. It was bad luck. Obviously, that was one more misconception Millie had harbored about her life the day she was born. "Sweetie, it's just a binary series." Mom's voice was unconvincing. "But it's written like I write the date. How many times do you add the first zero? It's not like the date, and it's 12 times, just like my age." "It's not about you. Those are Earth conventions, and this is not an Earth machine. And there are countless different ways to write the date on Earth. It's just a coincidence, and we need to focus." but it was coming for me. You said that it was coming towards me. This is about me. And regardless of what else these numbers could be, it is the day I was born. The persistence engine does not know you as that birthday. Your birthday on Earth was set as a... Mom looked at Dad. We had to estimate based on travel time and some other factors. I've seen my birth certificate. You've also seen the machine you're standing in. Millie's hands were sweating, holding her pencil. She looked at her picture of Dalen, radiating competence and sophistication. Millie remembered standing in that door, ready to leave. She knew how close she was to making that leap, but she had chosen to stay, and she knew she was ready to make the most of it with her parents. Mom, I need to know the truth about this. She had swallowed hard. But I can wait until we try to find these people. We need to find these people, and I have freaked out once today. I cannot do that again, so please tell me one thing. Where was I born? Earth. Was it January 11th? No. Have I always stayed on Earth? Hun, for a while after you were born, we had to stay in the shop. At that time, you were not on Earth. You were the correct age. You are 12 years and 10 months old. But more time passed on Earth while we were in the shop when you were a newborn. The air had drained from Millie, but she still forced herself to say, "Thank you. Let's find these missing people." Millie stopped drawing. All this talk of tethers and bringing home, and she could not have been more adrift. There were so many secrets these people keep. Why did they have to have this one? And she let herself feel this way, letting them off the hook to answer her. She could have stopped everything, ground them down for answers. They were so weak, ready to give her anything to move on, whatever she wanted to ask. And she could not. She knew she had done the right thing. She knew that trust appeared in their eyes when she let off. She put the focus on the 1,000 people they could not find and showed whatever their estimate of her age, she could act older. Was it really 1,000 people? That was the number Dalen had come up with. What? Mom and Dad had said together. The readings are garbled. But if it's similar to your counts of the other waves, then it's about 970 to 980 people. The energy required, the pulses and the patterns in the transmissions, and it seems to be from a militarized area of Proval, where there are reports of a missing battalion. We lost a battalion of soldiers from Proval. Dad's surprise grew. If they are on the wrong planet, they will rip through the locals. Millie flipped her page anew. She drew a big arch with a long, bouncing tail. That was what Dalen's display showed. There was a big spike, and when you zoomed in as far as you could go, you could see 974 of the same pattern, the big spike and the dribbling tail. She drew a soldier underneath each bouncing arch, getting ever more crushed by the tapering line. Crushed under the data, because they couldn't find that lost march. Everything they did, they could not find any destination or even more information on where the lost soldiers had landed. It all came back to that number, 011110. They spent hours over that display, pulling apart the readings and flipping up the schematic of the galaxy. Millie watched in her mind the replayed flashes of the shop showing up at the market, beating into that skyscraper. She watched it in her memory each time they repeated the data. 3 times, For each of the off-world visitors, their homeworld flashed brightly, and then Earth flashed brightly. But when the 1,000 marchers had disappeared from their home, there was only one flash on Proval, then nothing. No reading, no numbers, just 011110. Millie's new unbirthday. As they studied the readings, Dad went to the shop door and met with people over the threshold. None came in, and conversations never went above whispers. The results, however, were evident. Millie heard words like the knowledgeable, or occasionally someone said the acolyte. She made a note to ask later. Each reported the same thing, no sighting of the lost march. Nothing came out of the door, and nothing went in. The afternoon eroded to evening with no progress. They would start again later. Mom dismissed Dalen for the day. "Can Millie walk me to pick up my ride home?" Dalen asked. Mom nodded. Dalen smiled and put out her elbow, which Millie held on to. Dalen opened the door, let Dad double-check that it was, indeed, Dalabrator, then walked out to the sidewalk. The sun was again setting, as the last time Millie saw this city, but with a cool blue glow around the cliff horizon. The darkening edge was met with the rising lights of the city, burning orange and white. Long yellow tails of lights trailed behind speeding vehicles on the skyways. Pulsing illumination edged up the corners of buildings, defining the cubes and long pyramids into the sky. The city night was waking. The night city was waking. They walked down the sidewalk together. As statuesque as Dalen was, Millie came up to her chin. They got to the corner and Dalen threw a glance back to see Dad still in the door. "His trust in you grew today," she told Millie. "But it's difficult for parents. Give him time for the rest to catch up."
"I don't feel like it will ever happen."
"I just watched it happen to you.
I saw you take a step back because you knew how much it would mean to your parents and how much further you'd get because of it. I saw that. You are every bit as spectacular that your mother has described. It was an honor to meet you today and to be here when you made so many adult decisions."
She kissed Millie on each cheek, "and I will be pushing for you to visit again." She watched Dalen flag down a passing cab with a button on her arm computer. Another of the rounded birds with the clear tops. She waved as the car pulled into the road, then walked back to the door to the shop that had been allowed to close. She took that as a very good sign. In her room, without realizing it, Millie had again flipped the page. This clean sheet was covered with the billion lights of night in Dalabrator, with the searchlights and the running tubes of neon, little rooms and connecting roads, outside elevators and open waterways. On the page, it was night in the throbbing heart of a metropolis, and the energy was just beginning. The energy, she thought. The energy was not working in the right direction. It was knotted in the corner, which could... Images of diagrams moved through her brain. Things she had seen in the hidden technical book. Things she glimpsed in the screens at the shop, things that just made sense. The wrong way the energy was running was turning it into a beacon rather than a key. She could fix that. Millie looked at the clock. She had been drawing for 2 hours, but it was still before midnight. She had time. She peeked out the door, heard the slow breathing draws of a sleeping house, then clicked the door shut and threw blankets across the bottom to hide the light that was supposed to be out an hour ago. She sat back at her desk and looked over the picture of the city, then cleared off the papers. Millie pulled off her bracelet, took off the largest of the charms, a sky blue sphere that looked like a sea diamond, and pried it open with a small screwdriver. Repairs to the electronics were finished, the charm resealed, and she was in bed before 1 a.m. This was Millie Salmon in the Infinite Shop, Chapter 7, The Lost March. In the next episode, Millie's going to take that drawing book of hers back into school for the day and find out what her friends have been up to.
Thank you for listening. You can find more about Millie at milliesalmon.com or join us on Patreon. Please like, subscribe, and leave a review on whichever podcast app you use. Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop is a production of Infinite Shop Limited, which you can follow on all social media platforms. I'm Ray Debicki. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to reading some more for you soon.